Good evening. We're now recording. If you could just come on for a moment, let me know who's here tonight. That would be most helpful. Who's joined us tonight?
Diana's here.
Hi, Diana. Welcome.
Hi.
Susie and Bud are here.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Thank you so much.
Oh, great.
Anybody else has joined us tonight?
There's some
others looking for
here earlier.
I'm sorry?
There are some others who were here earlier.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm sure we're all here, so it's great to have everybody with us, and we're going to take on a very special topic tonight. This is one that's been difficult for many of us. It's interesting that the vast majority of us on the phone have very vivid imaginations. We spend a lot of time thinking and sometimes worrying and wondering and hoping and wishing, and then we have this time in tangible reality. It's so important for us to understand the creation of anything, especially our dreams, occurs in two different places. I want to see if I can spend just about 5 minutes articulating something to everyone, and then I just want to ask a couple questions to see if we can make sure that we're understanding it. We talk about creation occurring in two different dimensions, both of them equally important. In our mind, we get the idea of what it is we want to create. Last week we talked about it's so important that our intentions, that our secret desires be in alignment with creation, that if we want to escape in a void or we want to be in catastrophe, we're not going to be able to get vivid visualization to create inspired ideas that ignite passion. So we want to be connected in that, engage in life and embrace principles and create value everywhere we go and connect and serve and contribute. We're in that space so that when we're in our mind, we're asking questions that can be answered. Often we ask questions that can't be answered, and then we get frustrated when they're not answered. I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? Why does it seem like everybody else gets it, and I don't get it? And quite often we go back to what is our cry? What is it that we're asking for? What is it we're seeking? What is our why? And we almost always find there's a problem in there. There's something that's out of alignment with creation, because we're not here to have an easy life. We're here to stretch and grow and become. And if we embrace that reality, then we can take on life. If we know that we're here to serve and lift and build other people, and we come to this mental creation process in that space, then we'll be blessed with an inspired idea or an impression, just for the asking. It flows very freely, just like the dews from heaven. So that's our first half of creation. If we've done this correctly, we now have got an idea of what we'd like to create. We can see it in our mind. It's ignited our passion. If we were wired to that functional MRI, part of our brain would have lit up that's normally dormant in a human being. Whew. Now, we begin the second stage. Because I want to emphatically state, I want to read to you. I actually just wrote this just the other day. With tenderness and clarity, I want to emphatically declare that physical reality is not magically manifest by vivid visualization. Physical reality is not manifest by vivid visualization. What is manifest? Inspired ideas. The reason why we have mental creation, the purpose for it, is to get an idea that lights up our brain, lights up our passion. So that when we're doing the work of creation, this is the second half, physical creation, we're doing the work that it's not boring, mundane, and burdensome, and repetitive, and hard, and burdensome. It's fun. When we're passion-driven, we do the work of creation without counting the cost or tracking the time. Do whatever is required to create in our tangible reality that which we've seen so clearly in our mind. But nobody gets to skip the work. Nobody gets to skip the work. And sometimes we spend so much time in our mind visualizing it, in a long time, I'm talking about maybe sometimes months or years, that we burned up some of the time that it takes to actually create it in physical reality, and we can get frustrated because it's not here. Let us not get frustrated, because we're here just to learn some great lessons. And this is one of the great lessons to learn, that we can't be frustrated with any being in the universe because tangible reality hasn't shown up the way we've seen it in our mind if we haven't done the work. This is a really hard sale, I said to someone today. It'd be much easier for me if I just said to everyone, hey, just come on over here. You're worthy to receive. All you have to do is ask, and it'll be given to you. It'll just manifest itself. That would be such an easy sell. But I know too many of those people that teach it who don't have abundance in their own lives, let alone their students. This is a hard, hard thing to sell. But I only want to sell what works. I only want to share with people principles that actually generate reality. Mental creation, we vision it, ignites our passion. We step into tangible reality and we begin doing the work of creation. I want to walk tonight through this process of what it actually takes to create something. Because taking this mental picture and then this physical picture, sometimes we might miss what we're trying to create. So I'm going to take you through a worksheet tonight. I'll give you a process to consider of taking the vivid visualization and then turning it into the tangible reality. The very first thing we want, before I do there, is this clear to everyone? We create in our mind an idea that ignites our passion. That's all we get out of mental creation. We don't get a Lamborghini in our garage. That's a lie. Now we go do the work that creates the Lamborghini. If you're in the network marketing business, for example, you start talking to people. You start having your meetings, and as your passion is excited and ignited, you're received more favorably. As you step into people's worlds and you practice intrinsic validation, you make better and deeper connections. You find people and they have needs, fulfill those needs, and you bring people into your business. You sell products, just using that one business as an example. And we go through this process, and then we have a dream. We actually have real money in a real bank account with which to buy a real couch. Does everybody get that no one gets to skip the work? We either do it passion-driven because we used our vivid visualization constructively, or we went in fantasy, etc., and now it's all boring, hard, and repetitive and burdensome. Does everybody get this? Any questions about that principle before we go deeper? Is that a hard one to accept for anyone?
It is for me. This is Susie.
We're listening, Susie. Go for it.
I don't vividly visualize anything in my mind. I can't see what I dream of, or I can't see my future. Bud always gets these visions, and he can see things, and I never see anything. I don't have any idea what my passion is, I guess. And that's what makes it so frustrating, because I'm not passionate about this business that I'm in, but I'm passionate about helping others. And I haven't gotten a vision of the passion that's supposed to drive me to do whatever it takes to get where I need to, where I want to be.
Okay. What have you tried to get the passion about? Is it about things? Do you ever go in that space?
No, it's not that I want a bigger car or house or second home on the beach. I mean, that's not really what is driving me or passion. You know, that's not what I'm passionate about at all. It's more helping the hungry or just, you know, stopping sex trafficking or helping wounded warriors. I mean, those are the things I'm interested in and passionate about. But I can't get there from where I am here to there. And then maybe it's because I just want to be there and I'm not willing to do the work. Maybe I just want to go volunteer instead of having to do the work to get the money to be able to do all the things that would help us and benefit them more than just volunteering. Does that make sense?
Well, let's talk about this feeding the hungry. If you had $1 million that you could spend in that endeavor, what would you like to create?
I don't know. Sometimes I think, well, maybe an orphanage or maybe...
Think about the orphanage. Tell me about what an orphanage might look like.
Well, it would be probably in a third world country. Probably, but not necessarily. But that's kind of what I see. Africa with darling little black children with bright smiley faces and cute curly hair and grateful for just the smallest thing. Then they get thrilled when the money, when the food comes out. And then, you know, the parents are thankful and the kids survive and thrive and grow and, you know, the future is bright and I touch people's lives and help.
Can you describe one of these kids to me? What are they going through?
Well, a lot of them are very sick. A lot of them have AIDS. Many of them have lost both parents, if not one. They don't have a lot of strength. They're drinking filthy water. They're getting malaria or they're being dehydrated or any number of horrible things. And they're just kind of hanging on, but they seem to be happy. They don't realize how horrendous their life is compared to the way we understand what they're going through. I mean, in other words, I don't even know. I'm sure they care, but they don't have a clue what the other half of the world has to offer. But they're grateful for what they have. They have hand-me-down clothes. They're darling. They're obedient, generally. They love to play and sing and dance.
Anybody else listening to Susie's vivid visualization? That's what vivid visualization is, what you just did. I could keep going down that road. I could probably ask you what color clothes they're wearing. What's on their feet?
Oh, they don't have any shoes. Bright colors.
Okay, Susie. OK, visualization. Yeah, that's what you're visualizing. You described it about as clear as it could be described. And what's interesting is you're not reading from a book. You're pulling from the experience in your mind. I could ask you how you got there, and you might say we traveled on a bus, or we're in a truck, or did you fly in a helicopter, and how many pallets of food do you see? And, you know, pretty soon you'd paint a whole, you'd be there. In your mind, you'd be there. That's vivid visualization. You don't have to see a picture. You don't have to have a dream.
Okay.
You know, that's got some, you know, earth-shattering message to it. It's just the ability to go somewhere else in your mind.
Okay.
Okay, now, let's come to a more practical piece for a moment. In the last week, have you faced any challenges? Let's say financial challenges.
Yes.
Okay. You don't need to disclose on the phone, that's fine. Just be with it. I want you to imagine when it happened where your mind took you in terms of what could possibly happen to you as a result of it. Or if it didn't change or didn't get fixed or you didn't earn the money for it or something didn't happen to solve it.
Okay, where does my mind take me?
Yeah.
Losing everything, selling the farm, and having to have our children support us. That's where it goes.
Yeah. So it's going into catastrophe, which is playing out worst-case scenarios.
Right.
And for many, I took you there for a moment because there's several people on the phone tonight who spend a lot of time in that same place.
Okay.
And if you don't pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do something about it, what's the possibility that those worst fears could become self-fulfilling prophecies?
It's very possible.
Yes, it is possible. And
yeah.
So when we catastrophize, as bad as it might get, we could actually create that by our non-action.
Okay.
Now here's your next challenge.
Uh-huh.
And there's several people on the phone with this challenge as well. When we look at network marketing, and I know that's your business, I'm in network marketing, and I love to serve people, and I go, well, we'll see. What I know is you said, I want to earn enough money doing this to go do that.
Uh-huh.
I just want everybody to know that it's very hard to get passion to do something that you're doing so you can go do that. Because you don't really feel passionate about what you're doing. You feel passionate about how you're going to spend the money. And the spend the money could be feeding kids in an orphanage, and it could be buying a Learjet. Doesn't matter.
Right. Okay.
It's what rings your bell. And what rings your bell is having an orphanage in Africa and going over and feeding the children, making all that happen. The question is, if you have to face this to do that, can you get passion around this? Because if you can't, you'll never do it. But you'll keep hanging on to the fantasy of the orphanage. See, fantasy doesn't mean it's something that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It just means something for which we don't have a plan to execute. It's when we go someplace and we live what that would be like instead of focusing on what it'll take to actually create the money to do it.
Okay.
That's fantasy. So it could be the most worthy cause in the world and still be fantasy.
Right.
And the same thought process that engages in fantasy is the same one that goes into catastrophe, which means you could go to the heights of heaven with an orphanage and the depths of hell with selling the farm and being out on the street and having to be supported by your kids.
Right.
That makes sense. That's where
same
we are.
Same thing.
Same thing. Now we go back here into the middle and say, do we really want to engage in life? Would we just like to be in Africa doing all this goodwill? Or do we want to live? We want to be alive today. Do we want to make sure that we're taken care of so that we have food, too? before you try to solve all the world's problems. If you're going to spend all that time over there, would it be helpful if all your debts were paid?
Absolutely.
Now, it would be helpful if you could get donations and or from your own earnings, you could contribute money. Rhetorical question, absolutely. So we're looking at what we're doing. Everybody just consider tonight. We want to find a way to ignite passion around what we're doing, not what we're going to do with it. That can help ignite our passion. Okay, I want to be in the orphanage making that happen. Now I need to generate X dollars of money. Could this be my best way of doing it, or should I just go get a job at JCPenney's? You know, I'd probably make more money. If I had an hourly job somewhere, I would probably, if I didn't have money that I had to spend on conventions and everything else I'm doing, if I had all that money in my bank account and I had a wage, I'd probably make more money. So the question is, if you just need to generate money, why not go generate it? Just go get a job. Stop the nonsense and go get a job. What comes up when I say that to you? Just I'm not giving you advice. I'm just exploring with you. What comes up for you?
It just feels awful. I don't want to go get a job. I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to build something of my own that can support us and that can support others in some way.
Okay. Build something of your own. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I'd like to rebuild our retirement. I'd like to have money to fix up the farm.
Stay with what I do to generate this. You work at Penny's and fix up the farm. What is it about the independence that gets you excited?
The freedom to do what I want, when I want, where I want, with whom I want.
Do you really have that freedom as an entrepreneur? No, if you're an entrepreneur, do you really have that freedom?
Well, not at the moment, but that's because I'm not doing the work.
Well, I just want you to know that as an entrepreneur, that's... No, no, it's not your fault. We're not going to go there. That's where your thoughts want to take you. I just want you to take a look at the reality of, I want the freedom, but do you want to pay the price for the freedom?
Right.
Because hardly anybody does. We see the entrepreneur having this time freedom, and I'm going, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 16. I work twice as many hours as the average person. Some years I've made less. Some years I've made a lot more. But I am in creation. I want you to just own that for a moment. I want to be the one who creates. I want the house I live in, the clothes I wear, the food I eat, to be dependent on my creation, what I do. It's up to me. That doesn't mean you involve God in the equation. If that's part of your belief, it is mine. But you're going to do the work. That's the thrill of being an entrepreneur, is taking total responsibility for results. That's it. No excuses. It's saying, I'm going to be my own worst boss. Because if we can't get ourselves up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get started, and sometimes work through midnight when it's necessary, to deny ourselves some things we might want to do because what we love to do most, create, is requiring our time right now. If we can't dictate when we work, because the freedom discussion is dictating when I don't have to work.
Right.
Entrepreneur dictates when they work, not if they work.
Right.
The freedom is that I can stop down because it's my choice to do it, so I can choose not to do it and go to a grandchild's baseball game. I can do that. I don't have to ask for anybody's permission but me, the toughest boss. But I am a working fool. I'm in a working fool. I dive in and you just grind. And nobody in a job would ever work as hard as you do or be as focused and determined. That's what you're buying into.
Okay.
I want you to just consider, is there a possibility I've been buying into something that isn't true? I've been buying into a lifestyle believing that this is entrepreneurialism. Entrepreneurialism is you get up before anybody gets up. You stay up after everybody's in bed. You're in charge of creation, and you can create as much as you choose to create. You don't get to choose if you work.
Mm-hmm.
Just the few moments you can take off without having to ask somebody's permission. The rest of the time, you're an entrepreneur. You're totally independent in the creation. You want to be in charge of your life. So I'm being a little tough, just a little tough, Susie, because there are a number of people on the phone dealing with the same challenge. Yeah, this is the challenge. We want something that doesn't exist on this planet. Now, I know entrepreneurs who have created. I talked to one today. He said, you know, when I was in major creation, I always had to put 100% of everything I did on the line. All my cards were on the table. I don't care to be living in that high of a risk anymore, and I can afford not to. I can dabble with things I want to do, and he's got enough wealth to pay his bills. He's totally available to serve. Totally available. He'd go to Africa anytime he wants to for a month or two and serve in an orphanage. He could do that if that was what rang his bell. But I know that Doug paid an enormous price for decades to earn that privilege. Decades. So, when I say pennies is a job, I just want everybody to know, and we'll talk about this enjoying the journey, it has less to do with what we do and more to do with how we do it. We can find tremendous joy working at JCPenney's if our passion is about making every person who walks in that store feel like a king or a queen. If we want to step into their world and find out how to serve them and have them leave the store with a smile, to earn a privilege of maybe managing other people or becoming a buyer. Or, you know, there are people that do retail and love retail because they love people. If we love people, we can love anything, because it's not about the job. It's about truly what JCPenney's requires you to do is less than you should be requiring of yourself. You have to be there at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You can't leave till 5 or 6. You got 15 minutes for this and 30 minutes for that. Those requirements, which seem like they rob you of your freedom, are far less than the requirements you should be putting on yourself as an entrepreneur. So every morning you sleep in, you're saying, I really don't want to be an entrepreneur. Every day you don't make phone calls to build your business, you're saying, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. Just so you know, everybody that's listening, that's what we are saying. Because entrepreneurs are self-directed. They work on their own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason because they want to, get to, and choose to. They don't ever feel a sense of obligation, have to, should, must, need to. They are so driven that hardly anybody would want to work and be them. That's an entrepreneur. And that's what it takes to build your business, just so you know. That's what it takes. So we look at the elements. We have the fantasy, and it could be a goal. The orphanage could be a goal. That could be a worthy goal if we are willing to pay the price to get it. If we're not willing to get up, make the phone calls, talk to the people, you know, and we'll talk in a minute about how creating passion around each one of those items, so all those tasks will be passion-driven too. If we're not willing to do that, we really are selling ourselves short and creating that self-fulfilling prophecy. We're creating it. You're saying, I don't want to do the work. I just want the money to go do the orphanage. And we're saying, that doesn't work that way. Not unless you win a lottery or you inherit a lot of money.
Right.
And if you win a lottery, if you haven't learned, not you, any of us haven't learned to do the work, it'll go through our fingers like water. And 3 or 4 years from now, you'll be more broke than you were before you won the lottery. So the process is becoming. So I know you struggle with this, Susie, and I owe it to you to be just so dead honest with you that it's time for you to really say to yourself, yeah, it's time to say, do I really want to do the work? Because I know you happen to be at a very good company. Has very good products.
Right.
And they just came out with a new product that's supposed to be exceptional in weight loss. Am I correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
And So here's your passion and love for people. How many people have extra pounds and they haven't been able to figure out how to get them off?
Tons of people. Lots of people I know and more than I don't know.
Okay. Now, tell me, how do you feel about that personally in your own life?
About weight loss?
Mm-hmm.
You mean?
Yeah.
I definitely need to lose 10 pounds.
Not 10 much.
15 pounds myself.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay, so we look at the product and we say, okay, I want to share this with people who truly want to lose weight. I don't want to show up needing to lose weight. Or if I do, I want to show up with a success story.
Right.
I just lost 10 pounds. I've never felt so good in all my life. How long would it take you to lose 10 pounds in your business if you made a decision that was a priority?
Probably not long. I lost 7 in 1 week when I started the program. Then I went off it.
Okay. So we get back on the program. Just give you an example. You lose 10 pounds, and your
mm-hmm.
love for people. You're talking about starving people in Africa, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's take a look at our own backyard. What
mm-hmm.
does obesity do to people?
Wow. Kills them.
Kills them. You hear that? It kills them. Diabetes, heart disease, coronary artery disease. You know, it just goes on. The list is on and on and on. And our nation is in trouble. I'm talking to you about this because I've dropped 24 pounds in the last 6 weeks.
Oh, great.
I mean, I'm getting really serious about this. Getting really serious. I'm doing it differently. I'm doing it with exercise and diet. I've gone vegetarian, basically, almost 100% vegetarian. Just eating differently.
Wow.
My body feels different. It's great. But it's not about me. It's about if you could take this piece on and you started thinking about all of the obese people in your community, the way you think about those, I just love it. The black skin, the curly hair, you describe beautifully these precious little children. If you thought the same way about everybody who's struggling with weight loss, and you start asking yourself, what can I create? How could I create that? How would that serve? I want to bless their lives. I want to assist them. I want to share with them how they might be able to do something they haven't been able to do before and find good health and do it before they lose it or before it gets any worse. Now you're in God's playground. Now you can get an inspired idea. Now you want to act on it like it's an urgent assignment. And all of a sudden you find yourself having conversations with people, and you're going to organizations where people might want to have conversations about this. You're sending out blanket emails, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And you become an expert on what's in the product. That's what entrepreneurs do. They don't just hope it sells. They become experts on it.
Right.
And they become the very best ambassador of that product on the planet.
That's
and all of a
right.
sudden they help somebody and they start to lose weight, and that person calls them on the phone and says something like, Susie, hiccup, sorry. And in tears, I have never been below this weight. It's a new milestone for me. I never thought I would ever see this again.
Wow.
I just want to thank you. I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. How are you feeling at this point?
Great. Awesome. Tingly.
Tingly. You tell another and another and another and another, and suddenly your business starts to grow. Not because you want to grow your business, because you
mm-hmm.
chose to serve the people. When you chase
wow.
the money, what does the money do? You chase the money runs.
Goes away.
When you focus on serving the people and creating value, the money flows. You invest it wisely and it will grow. And you have blessed all of these people. I'm just giving you one little facet of your business because I know a lot about your company. You help those people, and then you help more people, and then more people. And all of a sudden you've got more than enough to pay your bills. You start building up a reserve, and the day comes for you to go to Africa.
Wow.
You weren't living in pain trying to build a business so you go to Africa. You were loving and serving people and feeling passion in the process. And the money starts being generated to go do the other thing you feel passionate about. You might also find out that the orphanage was far enough away and safe enough to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really get engaged. You may get so engaged in your own backyard blessing the lives of people, you may not have time to go to Africa. Because the poor are everywhere.
I know.
And when someone's obese, they're poor in spirit. They need... Most are struggling with self-esteem issues. You ever watch Biggest Loser?
No, never. I guess I should.
Well, if I were in your business, I'd make sure you put down your schedule. The season's over now. But I would get inspiration watching these people exercise and lose weight and what it does to them, how they feel about themselves. It's huge. If you want to do what you're doing, you must become the expert. You do this research on everything there is on the topic. You read every article you can find. You want to serve people. Because you don't want to walk out to somebody who needs to lose weight and have a conversation, what's in it? I don't know, but it works. Come on.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
That's how you generate passion. That's how you generate passion. You start finding it in these pieces, and you stop trying to grow a business, and you start focusing on serving the people who could be benefited by your products. Because if they buy your products and they have benefit, they'll tell their friends. They'll build businesses. They'll build them. Not every one of them. But they'll get excited and start building your business. Thanks for letting us go here. Because
many of us have
massive dreams, and you are so vivid, so don't ever discount that again. We've got dreams we've seen in our mind, and we get excited about it. If it's
right.
a fantasy, it won't ignite our passion, because passion comes from an inspired idea, something that breathes life into us, and there's a power in the universe from which that comes. And if our intentions aren't pure, it's not going to give us inspiration. It gives us inspiration to help meet a real intention, a secret desire that's worthy of it, that we truly want to bless a life. Now we come over here, and we could talk tonight about procrastination, because all of us do it. But when we're passion-driven, we don't procrastinate anything. We want to make it happen. We want to create it. Why would we put anything off? In terms of power sessions, we've talked about those where we stay present in the now 3 times a day. This is my idea to help us do this, because some of us keep wanting to drift over into our minds just to pull us back, keep us present. You read about power sessions in quality number 3 in your studio or in my book. There's a section in physical creation on power sessions. You just want to pick times in the day when you're going to be totally present. Bring all of your gifts, all of your talents, all of your ability to listen for an hour. For some of us, that's exhausting because we're just not here. But the more time you spend in the present, the more you discover that physical creation does not happen in our mind. It happens in tangible reality, being totally present. And when we're totally present, I'm going to tell you something very carefully tonight. Remember where I said inspired ideas come from? Power greater than ourselves? I would call that God.
Right.
When we're totally present, God can put people on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. But you'll miss them if you're not present. You won't see them. You'll miss them. You don't want to miss them. So we want to learn to
That's
be present
right.
in the now.
That's
so
got
take your business and start looking at it differently. Start looking at it differently.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so tonight as you're lying in bed, don't go to the orphanage. Go to the people in your community and let God show you how troubled they are, how painful it is. How discouraging it is to be overweight. Some of us have ignored this And so we have ignored ourselves. Now, some people want to just be obese and happy, and that's great. But extra
right.
weight on the body creates tremendous challenges in our digestion, in our blood flow, development of cells that cause challenges. We want to be happy. But
right.
if we can get our weight down to somewhere reasonable, doesn't need to be, you know, for a guy 5'11", 175. If I was 5'11", 195, I'd be happy. I'd be 20 pounds over what I'm supposed to be. But I'd be really comfortable with myself. But you start going above that, and the clothes don't fit. People go up to shake hands, and they look down at your belly, you know. I don't know if you know those guys. You just watch people. Unconsciously, they do. Judgmental.
Mm.
It's really tragic in our nation. Now, if it's just all about image, I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying. But it's not. It's about health.
Right.
You've got a great product for that. Now, we go through all of your other products. You know, there are a lot of women who are concerned about aging. They're losing their youthful beauty. Now, I love to watch, like, Ramona. She's 60 years old. She wouldn't mind telling you that. And she is so beautiful. She's aged so beautifully, but she takes care of her skin. And you've got some of the finest products for doing that. Unique ingredients. This is a topic that if you could put your ears to the ground and listen to all the women within a 20-mile radius of where you're standing right in the city right now, just 20 miles, it would be so deafening, you wouldn't be able to hear it. I mean, it would be crushing. All the dialogue about how they're feeling about aging. That's just another one. Some of you on the phone are with different companies and different products. Just think about what your product does, and then start getting outside of your own fears and doubts and concerns. Start focusing on people, because when you get an inspired idea of somebody else's pain and suffering, and you start wanting to bless their lives, you are in a very special place. Because now, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? Those questions get answered. Because you're now blessing people's lives who are in pain. And if there's a God in the universe, that's what he focuses on. So go serve them. And if you make a lot of money doing it and want to go help the poor in another faraway country, go do it. Go do it. It's a very worthy cause. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for being so brave tonight. Anybody else that wants to pursue this a little bit? Because we can't go through procrastination. We can go through power sessions. We can talk about the measurements in here. I do want to say just one thing about the measurements in physical creation. The vast majority of it, Susie, you are one of them. I'm looking right here at your assessment. It's been guiding my discussion. Your measurements in physical creation are almost all perfectly balanced. There is an enormous capacity for you to have passion for what you're doing, knowing what needs to be done, being organized when you're doing it, following the rules so you don't get in trouble, taking on challenges as they occur, and protecting what you build. This is the strongest part of your assessment, and it's the place you avoid the most. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
That's true for many on this phone. There is so much natural, common sense, and practical judgment waiting for you in the execution of this if you just get your heart focused on the right thing. It's just waiting for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Is there
Thank
anyone
you.
Else that I can serve tonight? You're welcome.
Dave, this is Doug Stoddard.
Hi, Doug. How are you? Haven't heard your voice in a while. Great to hear you.
Well, I hear you on the replays. I got a little, and I want to thank you once again. I've been with you, I think, 2 years now, and I've had an amazing change in myself. It's just been so fun. And helping other people. So thank you. And I have this question, Dave. It's off, kind of off the subject, but you say you carry a journal around with you wherever you go, and you write in that, and then you... What does the journal look like? I mean, is it just a 8.5 by 11, or... I've had this question forever.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. How do I use it? I was sitting right here in front of me.
Huh?
I was having a cool conversation with someone. Just make journal entries. I write right and left page. Says 2/11/14. That's the day, right? Had a really important meeting this morning, and so I took notes during the meeting so I could think about them. And tomorrow, the first journal entry will be 2/12/14. And my journal runs from whenever I start that one to when it ends, and that's what the dates I put on the front of it. And I've got a whole cabinet full of journals. Now, not all of them are the same. I went through a series where Kevin Hall, you remember Kevin, has an Aspire journal, and I've been using his journal. I found it a little bit hard to write in because it's the size of a 9 by 6 book, and the pages aren't quite wide enough to fold flat. I've got a new journal now, and you'll laugh at this. It's one that I got for our couples retreats. It's like $1.49 or something. And it's about, I would say 8 by 10. And it fits right into my little folder with my iPad. It's very comfortable. Matter of fact, I'll measure it for you right now. It's 7.25 by 9.25. It's got the paper's quite wide. I open it up and it lays flat. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to write while the page keeps trying to close on you, you know?
So yeah, that's right.
That's what I write. And I have one day a week when I do a lot of personal writing. It's Sunday morning, typically. It's kind of a day of reflection for me. And I do a lot of writing about what's happened during the course of the week, identify precious experiences. There's generally notes in my journal, you know, from them. I didn't have maybe the time to journal at length on something during the course of a day, so I just spend that time on Sunday till I've got it all and I'm done, and I feel like it's just whole, and then we stop, and that's what I do on Sunday. Some people journal that much every day. I don't. That's the journal. That's simple. I'm working with Dennis Webb, who's come up with a thing called Q-Learning. It's a special journal. He's just manufacturing right now. When it comes out, it has a place in the front for just general notes. Then when you're writing on something that's important, you go to the back of the journal and you have topics listed and you write the pages that's found on. Because the challenge I've had with my journaling is when I want to go back and reread something, I got to go back two or three journals, and I remember, I think it was on the left-hand side of the page. I'm trying to go through it until I find it. With his new journal design, I'll be able to go to the back of any journal to that topic and find out which page that note was on, go to that page and read it.
Well, that'd be
I'm excited about that journal. That'll be out shortly. So.
And you'll let us know, or how would we find out more?
Oh, sure. Happy to. Yeah, I've got a prototype, but they're not preparing yet, but I got a prototype here I've been playing with.
And it's called Q-Learning? Or
Q-Learning. Q-Learning. Letter Q-Learning.
Okay.
Dennis Webb, he was one of the founders of Franklin Quest, which became Franklin Covey. He just retired after being the mayor of Holiday for, I think, about 12 years or so. Great man.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it because I've been journaling for years. I have binders and binders, but sometimes I like to get... I find I like to write a lot, and then I have my notes for ideas. It just wasn't organized. And you take yours everywhere with you, so...
You rarely find me someplace without it. Because you're always coming up with ideas, you know, thoughts that you have. You know, for Susie, this would be yours. You're thinking about these people you want to serve, Susie, and you get this idea. And if you're like me, if I don't write it down, 10 minutes later I'm trying to remember what it was. Because those ideas can come in a flash, and if we write them down, what we're saying is I'm going to treat that like an urgent assignment. Mm-hmm. I've been asking for guidance, and I just got it. I can't say, well, that's not big enough or good enough or interesting enough. You just act on it. When you act on it, the world opens up. Yep, that's it. Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you. You bet. Thank you.
Matter of fact, I got a question for you that I'd like to ask you privately. Could you give me a call tomorrow morning here at my office? Would you be able to do that?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sure. What time? Have to be about 8 o'clock.
Are you available in the morning?
Until about 8:15.
Okay.
Can I call
you? You're in California, right? Yep.
No, I'm in Idaho.
Idaho, okay. Why don't you call me just before you leave? Are you driving to someplace at 8:15?
Well, I'll have somebody with me. So.
Okay. That's okay. When you get a break during the course of the day, just give me a call, and if I'm available, Nikki will put you through. So I don't want to touch base with you. Awesome. Okay, great.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, thanks, everybody, for being on the call tonight. Susie, you are an angel.
Well, you're a godsend.
Well, thank you.
You're my savior.
Well, everybody, have a wonderful evening, and you're so welcome, and it's good to be with everyone tonight. And gosh, I'm glad we went the direction we went. I must tell you, Susie, something different tonight, as you'll notice, than we ever have done. I just felt prompted to do this, and I'm glad you follow promptings like the urgent assignments. That's what you do. So you've got the clarity for this. You've got the heart for this. Yep. Now you just need to go be in that space. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody.
Absolutely.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be back
God
with everybody next. Thank you. We'll see you
you're
all
welcome.
Next Tuesday night. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Great.